You're listening to Radio Golf Show. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Radio Golf Show. Today, as you know, we're a podcast about golf and the world. Today, we're going to talk about everything because today we have a very special guest joining us. Is Asha Sultana, the content creator and community manager and microdosing coach for Microdose Pro. On August 24th, 2016, Wired Magazine, one of my personal favorite all-time publications, published an article by Olivia Solon titled "Under Pressure, Silicon Valley Workers Turn to LSD Microdosing." That was a big story. The real kick in the head for me when I read that was the subtitle, which asked the question, are they risking their health or optimizing it? Fast forward to the 2020 Netflix documentary, Have a Good Trip. It really became the time when microdosing and mushrooms became the mainstream. It was a rebranding of what was a drug that was banned in the States in 67, I believe. Then came back. The flame was kept alive by people like Terence McKenna and Timothy Leary, and then came back in the 90s and the 2000s, and it became normalized through this article in Wired Magazine in a way that appealed to professionals, creatives, and wellness enthusiasts. Asha, I'm not really sure where we should start. Let's start with maybe what it is that you guys really have in your product palette. And I know there's two different categories. One is the truffles that you offer, and the other side is the mushrooms, reishi, chaga, cordyceps, and lion's mane, and then various other things like shilajit and pure sleep is one that I have. I just want to point out, ladies and gentlemen, this is not Microdose is not paying me for paying anything to talk about them. I've been a customer of theirs from day one, a big fan, and we'll talk about that. But let's get you involved here. What is it you guys do?
I'm glad to be here, Frank. Thank you so much for having me. What do we do? Well, before we get into that, can I just expand a little bit on the history of it? Because I think history component is just so valuable. And a lot of the credit has to go to Dr. James Fadiman. And in 2011, he sent out a global survey, which was put into one of his books. And he sent out a global survey asking people how they used psychoactive mushrooms or psilocybin. And it went out, and I think something like 1,200 people responded from over 51 countries. Fact checked me, I can't remember exactly all the details, but nonetheless, the results he got from this global survey is what we understand as microdosing today. So he basically deduced the pattern of these citizen scientists, because if you think back to 2011, this was very much not mainstream, and this is very much taboo back then. And so for people to grow their own magic mushrooms in whatever capacity they were, you know, little home chemists, whatever, this is what they felt was a therapeutic functional dose that would optimize and enhance their well-being. So it wasn't just for entertainment purposes, because, you know, it's great. You know, you can have the Grateful Dead, you can have a great night out at a concert or whatever it is you want to do. But for therapeutic and life upgrade purposes, this is what microdosing was defined as. And this is how people used it. And that's what James Fadiman discovered when he sent out his global survey, which is now known as the James Fadiman Protocol. And so people like those citizen scientists are very much to credit for bulldozing through and being so tenacious and relentless and forcing local legislators to reconsider and reconsider and reconsider. And then, of course, you have the Timothy Learys and the Paul Stamets and the more well-known figures that, of course, champion the cause. But without the hardcore data, I often tell my clients that it's so interesting to see how behind current sciences, because we have all kinds of medical papers that are coming out now saying, psilocybin can improve, depression, and they have it can reduce levels of anxiety. And this is a fMRI scan of a brain under the influence of psilocybin. And they're like so surprised. And yet the citizen scientists that have been microdosing or using this psychoactive compound in a very, very small dose for a therapeutic purpose, or like, yeah, we knew. This is what we've been trying to tell you for 50 years. We're not surprised. You guys are surprised. So it's kind of like, science is very much playing the catch-up game, which, we're glad they're here. So better, late to the party than not at the party at all. And so in March of 2020, Microdose Pro and Human Pro was founded. I'll explain the difference in a second. It was founded by three Dutch gentlemen based in Amsterdam, and each of them individually, Gino, Nils, and Kai, each of them individually had been microdosing for various reasons for years prior. We all read the Wired article from 2016. It all affected us. And it's like, what are these techies in California doing? Right? Because we're like, what do you mean they're coding and going to their tech jobs in Silicon Valley and microdosing? Like, how does this work? And so they probably read the same article, had been microdosing. And so when EU laws changed and allowed for truffles that contain psilocybin, became legal, then that's when they seized the moment and went ahead and started Microdose Pro. The difference between Microdose Pro and Human Pro is that on Microdose Pro, we supply psilocybin-containing truffles to EU countries, and on Human Pro, we do not. So Human Pro is more the functional mushrooms that are not psychoactive, including other important adaptogenic supplements such as ashwagandha and shilajit that are not available on Microdose Pro. So we kind of try and keep those two containers, those two siloed off a little bit. Also on Microdose Pro, we also supply grow kits for magic mushrooms to certain countries. Now, this might be a good time to elaborate the difference, which often people don't necessarily know because the mushroom kingdom is complex and fascinating. If anybody wants to read more about this, please buy the book Entangled Life by Merlin Sheldrake. I cannot recommend it enough. And it talks very much about, the mycelial network and the fungi kingdom. And a lot of people call the fungi kingdom the third kingdom, but in actual fact, it should be the first kingdom because algae and mold and spores enabled photosynthesis to come about. And so without these fungal mechanisms, we wouldn't have plants. So they were here before anything else. They were here enabling the rest of life on Earth to be possible. And so based on that, we're barely scratching the surface of the levels of complexity that a fungal network actually is, and the different types of mushrooms and spores and mold, et cetera, et cetera. That being said, magic mushrooms are, of course, the golden teachers and other strains, and they're quite potent. Worth noting that they're getting more and more potent as people are creating their own strains in their basements, and they're having mushroom competitions the same way they're having cannabis competitions. So that's kind of creating its own thing. So they are getting a little bit more potent, but the truffles are very much like the gourmet truffles that one would eat. They're little balls, but they contain only a tenth, approximately a tenth of the psilocybin content. And so they're perfect for microdosing because the psilocybin content is so low. It's much easier to dose appropriately. So you have the grow kits where you can grow your own magic mushrooms at full potency. Needs a little bit of a learning curve, a little bit of processing before you consume them. Really, really fun. And then you have the truffles that we send fresh in a vacuum packed strip. And those you can dose immediately. There's no learning curve required. You just go straight in. And then we have the functional mushrooms, which are the lion's mane, chaga, reishi, and cordyceps. Now, those are functional. So there's no psychoactive compound whatsoever, fully legal to travel with, which is worth keeping in mind. Do not travel with truffles or magic mushrooms. But the functionals that I mentioned, you can absolutely travel with them and you can take them every day of the year without any pause. And of course, nothing that I say is a medical recommendation, but by and large, lion's mane is great for gut health and mental clarity. So, because we have so many brain cells in the gut and we moderate so much serotonin in the gut, when we heal the gut, which is what lion's mane contributes towards, it heals the intestinal lining, that then contributes to our cognitive health and our mood because it crosses the blood-brain barrier. Chaga is great for immunity. Reishi is great for the nervous system. And cordyceps is excellent for cardiovascular support as a pre-workout or post-workout. So, but I really want your audience to be cognizant of the fact that functional mushrooms, because they're becoming more and more mainstream now, we see them in a lot of, health food shops and online and everything. The extraction is really, really important. If they're not extracted properly, they're not bioavailable, and then they just go right through us. And so it's really important that people understand what they're purchasing and that the extraction is indicated correctly on the label. So this is something that we pride ourselves on. Not only do we grow our own mushrooms in Amsterdam, so we don't purchase them from China, we grow our own, and then we extract them dual process, which is alcohol and hot water, which makes it completely bioavailable by the human body. And then we are able to absorb the benefits and the compounds to the maximum level, which is why our products basically speak for themselves.
You're talking about you grow reishi in Amsterdam.
Yes, we have a farm. So we
Okay.
have a farm. So we grow all those four in Amsterdam.
It's interesting that you mentioned Merlin Sheldrake. His father was on the program, and I talked to him about this. Yeah, I talked to him about this, and he was talking about how his sons were microdosing. And I said, Rupert, how about you? Are you microdosing? And his answer was, I prefer the occasional macrodose. That was his answer. But maybe that's a terrible, sorry, Rupert. That was a terrible imitation. But he imitated Terence McKenna on the show, so that was really good. But maybe you should quickly point out the difference between LSD and psilocybin. LSD is a synthetic compound, and psilocybin is a natural compound, correct?
Well, yes and no. So LSD is synthesized from a fungus that grows on corn called ergot. So it's still extracted from a fungus.
Okay.
So it's same, but different, but the process is a lot more complicated. There's a great documentary, but it's called A Man That Lived on a School Bus. And he basically he's one of the only guys that knew how to make LSD. And he supplied, like, well, I don't know if you've ever seen that. That's a
Have
really great
not.
documentary. Yeah. And it's a rather complicated process. So it's not as organic, if you will, as psilocybin mushrooms, but it still comes from a fungus. And the difference, I quite enjoy microdosing LSD. I really do. The difference is I often liken it to having cobwebs removed from our cognition, or it's almost like cleaning a window with a squeegee, where it just becomes so crystal clear. But psilocybin is more earthy, it's more emotional, it's more warm, it's more grounded, So, and also there's another caveat. When you take LSD, whether it's a larger or smaller dose, you're kind of committed. There's no handbrake. So you really need to understand your dose because it's a longer experience. So on a larger dose, LSD lasts 12 hours. And whatever you take, you take. And like, that's it. It doesn't matter if you eat, it doesn't matter if you drink, like, you're in it for that 12 hours. Psilocybin is 6 hours, 5 to 6 hours, and you can eat to kind of mitigate the rush, if you will. But this is, of course, on larger doses. And again, another difference is with LSD, you do develop a tolerance. So if you're taking large doses back to back, one day after the next, you actually need to increase your doses every day to get the same effect if you were chasing the dragon at that level. With psilocybin, tolerance is not really quite the same experience. I don't feel that tolerance is as much of an issue with LSD as it is with psilocybin. So there are, it is very much the same, but different kind of.
Well, I've had my fair share of legal and illegal drug taking throughout my career. I was never a big fan of LSD or the magic mushrooms, just for that reason, because once it was in, it was in. I did LSD maybe twice, and it was not really what I was looking for then. So when I first saw these truffles online, psilocybin truffles, I was a little bit afraid, to be honest with you. But I went ahead, and I've been using them ever since. And maybe you can give me later on a quick microdosing lesson tutorial how to take it best. Or you don't know me, but and what to take it with, and you can function perfectly. You can drive a car. You can do everything you want. I mean, it's not like, I want to make sure the audience understand it's not something you take and you sit there and for 8 hours and just watch a movie in your head. But you mentioned some of the greats, and I'd mentioned Terence McKenna and Ram Dass, who were focused really more on the high doses. But it was, in the 90s, I guess, these underground therapists that you had mentioned also that understood and that quietly experimented with those smaller doses, and they were really the ones that kept the buzz alive, because it was illegal in the States in the 60s and 70s, and then all of a sudden this article appeared in Wired magazine. It's interesting. To me, because you mentioned the word cognition, and trying to connect that to sports and flow, which is obviously a huge topic. Stan Beecham, who is a very famous sports psychologist, once said that the reality is not that top athletes think differently; it's that they don't think. There's no thought, no cognition, no emotion. And that really is the advantage of doing that. Can you comment on that?
There's so much to comment on that. So where to begin? It's kind of like this whole conversation is always like the mycelial network. It's like it's very woven and dense, and there's no real starting point or end point. And it kind of brings me to this wonderful article in the National Geographic magazine. It was probably like 2009. It was probably like, back way back then. And what they had done was they were busy designing the Tokyo subway system. And they had laid out a very preliminary map of what it could look like. And anyone that's been to Tokyo will know that it's a complicated place and it's very dense, and they needed to be as efficient as possible in their positioning and in their routes between stops. And so they wanted to test their theory and also kind of see what intelligence lay within the fungal network. So they had a petri dish and they plotted out the points of where the stops were. And then they put slime mold in the petri dish and just to see what it would do. And the slime mold basically recreated the routes between stops in virtually the exact same way as the engineers had designed. which basically meant that the slime mold knew the most efficient path between A and B.
They designed the Tokyo subway system.
Right. So you can look it up. It's a National Geographic article. It's
Wow.
still online. It came out as print back then, but you can find it online. And so that's kind of what happens when we microdose. And to your point, microdosing is not about buzzing, which is what makes it really tricky. You can buzz and you can have an entertainment dose or a museum dose, as some like to call it. Or you can have a macro dose and have your 50-minute cup of tea with Jesus, as I like to say. You can go there if that's what you want
How many truffles is a macro dose?
to. I mean, it depends. It depends on everybody's physiology. 7, 14 depends. Magic mushrooms, much less, definitely. But depending on, are you taking pharmaceutical medications? So the only caveat is please don't take pharmaceutical medications in combination with psilocybin. I really don't recommend it. They work very, very differently. But otherwise, psilocybin is completely a non-toxic compound. And so you could take oodles and oodles of it. And the only thing is that you're just going to have a longer time with Jesus on
Okay.
the other side. Like
There
there's no toxic
you
issue. But again, that's assuming that you're not taking any pharmaceuticals only because they just work very, very differently.
go.
So microdosing is very subtle because you're not chasing the dragon. You're not having that buzz. You're not having those butterflies in your stomach where you're like, uh-oh, it's like I'm on the roller coaster ride. And that's why you can function, and that's why you can drive a car, and that's why you can go about your business, and it's all fine, which is very counterintuitive to, again, what we're used to when it comes to medicine, that it's supposed to hit you like a Mack truck, like an ADHD kind of medicine, that it's kind of like overrides all your senses and kind of drives your entire system for you. Psilocybin doesn't work like that. We often say that it gives you what you need and not what you ask for, which, you need to get used to that level of surrender sometimes. But that's why the micro small doses is more than enough for subtle, potent changes over time.
Sorry.
So just coming back to the whole slime mold analogy and golfing and flow states and not thinking, there's just some kind of intelligence in the fungal kingdom. Again, we don't understand what we're looking at, but something seems to happen that psilocybin knows what to do with the connections between synapse A and synapse B. So there may be a connection there, and that connection might need to be repaired, reinforced, or removed altogether, right? And those connections are habits and preferences and routines, right? So the connection between A and B can be drinking, smoking, exercise, being tidy, social anxiety. It can be any kind of behavior or personality quirk or habit. Now, somehow, some way, psilocybin seems to understand, do we keep this? Do we reinforce it? Do we remove it? And if it's not there, do we introduce it? And that's how it really rewires. And that's what the word neuroplasticity means. It's basically resupporting and re-engineering the neural network in our brain. So it's giving us this leg up. And because we don't microdose every day, again, counterintuitive, we microdose a few days a week for a limited number of weeks, and then we take a break. Again, very counterintuitive. There's no withdrawal symptoms when we stop. We get to keep the benefits, quote unquote, when we stop. And the reason is we take a small amount, synapses are tweaked, infrastructure is optimized in whatever way it understands it should be. And then our behavior kind of changes. We're a little bit more patient, we're less aggressive, we're a little bit more cheerful. Road rage is not really a thing. Like all of these, I've often heard people say, oh, my wife says I'm kind of like a nicer guy lately. Like, or I've been whistling a song for a few days and I didn't even realize it. Or My cat likes me again. Like, what's this about? You know, there's all kinds of very small things. And because you're microdosing 2, maybe 3 days a week, you have the other 3 or 4 days where you're naturally reinforcing your own behavior because neuroplasticity is still at work. We call those the afterglow days, those days between and the weeks in between. And so you kind of repeat it because you're starting to feel better. You're like, oh, I don't need to have 9 beers when I go out. I'm having two. And because I'm having two, I'm not hungover. And because I'm not hungover, I actually don't mind going for a walk in the woods on Saturday morning. And because I'm actually feeling better. And because I'm feeling better, I'm sleeping better. And then you kind of like starting this upward cycle. And these are all the benefits that you get to keep once you start.
And you don't, I mean, you don't take it because I'm going to take this because I don't want to have 9 beers today. You really don't know what the benefits are. I mean, you mentioned tidying up, which now that I think about it, that was never one of my strong suits. But it does, my desk does look a lot cleaner and more organized. But so is it benefits? Is it like a like a Cracker Jack box? You don't know what benefits you're going to get.
Like I said, it gives you what you need and not what you ask for,
But sometimes you
you
don't know
know?
what you need. Most of the time.
Exactly. It will show you. It will show you. And a lot of times people, as they're trying to find their sweet spot dose, because we have our own biochemistry. And so the ideal dosage is not something that anyone can tell you what it is. You need to experiment. So you need to start with a small amount and then increase in small doses, in small increments, until you start to feel like, okay, this is where I feel the best. Now, how do you know that you've exceeded your sweet spot dose? You could feel a little bit anxious. You could feel a little bit emotional. You can feel sleepy. And whenever someone tells me, I felt so sleepy, I'm like, okay, that is an indication that your body is craving high quality rest. These are the mushrooms. This is the psilocybin telling you that this is something that needs care and attention. So it will induce this fatigue that you probably didn't have access to. And so I'll recommend certain non-sleep deep rest yoga nidra techniques to give them this deep rest that their body is craving. And so it gives you this indication of like, if I'm microdosing and I'm feeling sleepy, it's because you're not well rested. You know, so you're kind of getting clues. And journaling is a huge part of microdosing because it really forces you to stop and take stock. Writing things down is a lot slower than thinking it or speaking it. And when it's on paper, on this container of a page or a screen, and you've taken the time to formulate a sentence around it, it's giving you a moment to be like, oh, I didn't realize I was thinking that, or I didn't realize this was happening. I didn't realize that was what was actually going on in my life. And so these are the ways that you can start to find the clues of what microdosing is bringing to your life.
It's and just for the folks listening, they come in a box, like you said, in a vacuum pack thing of six truffles, and in the box or on the bottom of the box, it tells you, one day on, one day off, one day on, one day off. It gives you two different scenarios, I think, which you as a microdosing coach will probably tweak once you get to know a customer and help him evaluate that. I'm very bad at writing things down when I should. Because you sit there and you say, well, is it working or is it not working? And then I forced myself to start writing down it. I wasn't really sure what I was writing, but how I would feel and how things would change. And it's not, and you mentioned that there's no withdrawal symptoms. And just like there's no withdrawal symptoms, there's really no possibility to addiction.
No, there's no one, because the thing is, it's emotional work. And like I said, psilocybin is a very earthy emotional thing. And although there are studies that show it reduces aggression on many, many levels. And I have anecdotal evidence of this through our group of 10,000 Facebook members or 2,000 on Discord. A lot of people say that their levels of aggression, rage, Temper tantrums are greatly reduced. But that aside, we tend to be more patient and more emotional. And sometimes we're a little bit more tearful because we have access to the way we're actually feeling for a change. We're not numbed out and tapered down. So, there's kind of those two things going on at the same time. I often say that a microdosing protocol, which means are you taking it two, three times a week, or maybe you're doing the Paul Stamets version of taking it 4 days in a row, or maybe you're stacking, and stacking means that you combine psilocybin with other compounds and other vitamins like a niacin B3 or lion's mane non-psychoactive functional mushroom. There's so many different variations that you could do. Now, is there a absolute protocol? No, because again, it is what works for you. It's very much like chicken soup. We all know what chicken soup is, and we all have our own unique recipes. And because, microdosing is so intuitive and so responsive to your own biochemistry and your own medical history, you have to experiment to figure out what is ideal for you. So you have to try things out, and you have to pay attention to how you feel so that you can figure out what's working for you and what's not.
Right.
Now, we say to start with the Fady Man protocol, which is two, three times a week, because as that's a starting point.
Yeah.
So you start in the morning, you take a quarter gram of truffles with your breakfast, and you see how you feel. You increase by 0.1 of a gram, you don't double up. So you don't go from a quarter to a half, you go from 0.25 to 0.35, and you see how you feel. Eventually, with time, you might prefer to do it on an empty stomach and not have it with food. You might prefer to do it at night before you go to bed instead of first thing in the morning. These are all things that you can figure out on your own. In time, you want to experiment and try other compounds and do some stacking. If you want to do it for 5 days in a row and then have 2 days break, the Paul Stamets way, go for gold. Once you find your feet, there is no hard and fast rule. There is no person in a white lab coat charging you $250 per 15-minute block telling you what's good for you.
Right.
That burden lies solely on you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm such a big fan of this. I've actually started to give away truffles as presents to my friends. And the reactions from them is exciting because they're all different reactions. One guy will say, "Oh, I took one of those things and made me feel a little bit queasy." So I and not knowing what's going on, I guess I put my microdosing coach hat on and I said, "Hey, how about you just take half of one of those things?" And then he did. He called me back a few days later. I did half of one of the truffles, and it was great. I mean, I felt free and clear and I guess like the guys in Silicon Valley. And then other guys said, "Well, it doesn't work for me at all." So it's very interesting, and I did it on myself. I did it by myself with the niacin, and I've found after years now, I think what works best for me. It's a super super product, and it should get much more visibility and much more recognition. I don't think any recognition from the medical community is going to come, but it's just a super product. Let's talk about the other side, the human pro, the mushrooms. You can ask any Chinese guy, well, not any, but most of the Chinese guys about reishi, and they will talk to you about what it's good for. I mean, many of these mushrooms, well, reishi in particular, comes out of China and has been part of Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. And maybe we can just mention the four mushrooms. It's reishi, lion's mane, chaga, and cordyceps. Yeah, which are all available individually. But then you have this wonderful product called Mushroom Essentials Complex, which is, I guess, a mixture of all four of them.
Correct.
Okay. Here, I would like to say hello to my 88-year-old mother, who swears that the only reason she's not in a home is because of these mushrooms. She told me the other day she increased her dose from 3 a day to 4 a day. I said, "Mom, wow, go for it." But when you if talk about these mushrooms, why would I buy the essential complex, or why should I buy each mushroom individual and take them that way? Is there a protocol to that?
Just a quick recap.
Yeah.
Reishi is also being used in Japan as a conventional oncology treatment
It's the mushroom of
for.
immortality.
So in Japan, it's very
Yeah.
commonplace
Yeah.
to prescribe that very high potency, high extraction to cancer patients. So it's not
Exactly.
taboo in the least,
Exactly.
not at
Treatment of cancer patients. Exactly. This
all.
should be said loud and clear. Absolutely.
Cordyceps, there was an Olympic Games in the late 80s where the athletes were taking cordyceps, and then that was they thought that they were doping because they outperformed so well
They
that
set the
they
world
thought.
records in swimming, I think it was. The Chinese, they were like, "What's wrong with these? They've never heard of these people, and they're swimming like
Superhuman.
flipping."
Because of the cardiovascular support that it provides. Chaga as well is a huge immune booster as well. Lion's mane is, I love that mushroom so much because not only can you eat it, you can actually make a beautiful lion's mane steak if you're, if you like vegetarian or vegan products. You can actually cut the mushroom itself and fry it on the grill, and it's absolutely beautiful. Kind of like a portobello burger, kind of, but like lion's mane steak. It's absolutely stunning. And it's such a powerhouse because it is a neuroplasticity inducer. It is a nootropic without being psychoactive. So it's got all of the benefits of psilocybin, but it's legal. It's not psychoactive, so you can take as much as you like without any issue. And it's very, very healing on the intestinal lining. And let's be honest, all of our guts can be healed thanks to modern day toxins. And so if you want to target any one of these particular superpowers from the mushrooms, you can definitely have one over the other. Or if you just want to have kind of a complete protocol and preventative medicine, you just take the Mushroom Essentials Complex. And as your mom said, she can go from three to four, she can take six, she can do between you and I, this is how I use it. So you would be surprised at how delicious the functional mushrooms are. So what I do is that I actually open the capsules and I put like four or six capsules because I like it quite creamy, and I put it in a mug and I add some hot water, and then I put like a coconut cream or almond milk or something and a little bit of honey. It's such a beautiful non-coffee alternative drink. You can put it in your smoothies. If you make like a chia pudding or whatever, it's got such a beautiful earthy taste because truffles taste like dirt. Truffles don't taste nice, but the functional mushrooms taste really, really nice. You can bake them in whatever desserts you bake and just kind of like add flavor in. So the fact that your mom is crediting a lot of her well-being to it is not a surprise. It's not an anecdote that surprises me in the least. She can definitely go up to four. She can increase. It's completely non-toxic, as I said. But there's something else I wanted to say when it comes to older users of mushrooms. When it comes specifically to microdosing, the boomers that I've coached before, they're actually quite funny. They're like, "Oh, back in my day, we all used to take, we used to go to Grateful Dead concert and we used to take like loads of mushrooms and we had the best time, whatever." But it never once occurred to me to take a small amount in order to optimize my well-being and to upgrade my life. They're
Yeah,
like, it
it's
never,
incredible.
in all of my days, it never occurred to me
Yeah.
to reverse it. Engineer, change the dosage, and have a completely different intention.
It's
Strangest
right
thing
there funny.
that
It's
I'm.
very, very, very funny. Again, the mushrooms come in capsules. but I'm definitely going to try opening one and sprinkling it on whatever. I tried each mushroom individually and couldn't quite figure out if I should take one of each at the same time to make my own essential complex, or if I just take one mushroom one day and one the other day. Couldn't figure it out, so I'm sticking with the mixture. And then I stumbled across a product on your in your portfolio that's called Shilajit.
Yes.
I am drinking it every morning.
Okay.
It kind of tastes like earth too.
It's very, yes.
But
Yes, you do get used to it. You do get used to it.
and when you read the story of this stuff, it's pretty amazing. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It's really, it's basically, it's like composted goo. So it's basically plant matter that kind of gets pressed by the rocks and the landscape that turns into like this sticky tar substance
That's what
over
you told
hundreds of years. That's literally what it is.
me.
And so this sticky tar is basically composted goo from plant matter over hundreds of years that you just consume. So you've got all of this trapped vegetation and all of the energy fermented over a long period of time that contains something called fulvic acid. And this fulvic acid proves to be a great energy producer and health moderator for the human body. And so a lot of people are starting to learn about it. It's becoming more commonplace as a supplement. But again, know your supplier. Make sure that your product that you're purchasing has third-party testing certificates available. So the certificate of analysis should be on their website or should be available upon request. Ours is available on our website just to have a third-party vouch for the purity and the quality of our product. And so that's something that we're very proud of. We let our products speak for ourselves. It used to be a blue ocean when we first started in March of 2020. It is no longer a blue ocean, but at the
Right.
moment, as they say, as long as you have 1,000 true fans, and that we have definitely hand over fist, we definitely have way more than 1,000 true fans. And we have, our product, it's so funny. I'll tell you something, a little secret. One of our founders literally yesterday in a staff meeting said, I started microdosing again and I forgot how nice it was. He's like, it felt so great. It was awesome. We really use our own products. We love our own products. We're all taking Shilajit daily. We're all taking Lion's Mane daily. We're all microdosing whenever it catches us. Because after a while, after your first or second cycle, you kind of do it intuitively and on an ad hoc basis. And so we don't do. My personal philosophy, despite how enthusiastic and extroverted I may sound, I'm not a salesperson, but I do brag about something that I believe in. And so we're definitely believers in this. And I'm just bragging, trying to give you guys FOMO because we're
Well,
having a whale.
yes, I mean it should be it should be more out there, and you mentioned the certificates and things like this, and maybe we'll talk about this in just a second. My favorite product right now is the Pure Sleep. I tell you something. The older you get, the less you sleep, obviously. But I bought this Pure Sleep a while ago, and I kind of left it on the counter. It's a very fine powder that you put in water. It actually tastes quite nice. Has a berry kind of taste to it. And you drink it, and my God, I lie down. 10 minutes later, I'm sound asleep. It's really helped me, maybe because I'm not used to it, but I just want to mention that there's another one. I think it's called Pure Focus. I've tried that as well, but the Pure Sleep right now is my number one on your product palette. Let's talk a little bit about and you mentioned the Blue Ocean, and Blue Ocean Strategy is one of my favorite. I guess it's a marketing book. I'm not really sure what kind of book it is, but that's a fantastic book, where you create your own market. But recently, let's say in the last 12 months, a lot of other mushroom places, and they pop up on your screen because they know I'm buying it for 5 years from you guys, so I'm getting all kinds of ads. How do you guys deal with that? Do you reinv do you have things where you kind of reinvent yourself? You like thinking, oh, maybe there's something else we can throw out there, or how do you keep your edge, or is it just the quality product that you provide?
So, disclaimer, the founders are Dutchies, and bless their hearts, we know how pragmatic and efficient and dry Dutchies
Yeah.
are.
I think on a clear day I can see them from here. I'm very close to them.
is their superpower and their downfall all at the same time, and we absolutely love them for it, so we just do what works. And let the chips fall where they may. We're just committed to supplying the best quality product, and it has to be so good that we love using it. And of course, you have to be a little bit clever, and you have to be a little bit efficient and creative with everything that we do. But microdosing and functional mushrooms and feeling good is such a word of mouth kind of thing. When you sleep better, literally everything in life feels better. And when you feel great, you just tell everyone, and could you even ask for better advertising, right? Because let's be honest, Zuckerberg is not making it easy. He's shadow banned a lot of us. They're like saying, oh, it's legal in the States and whatever, but they're not, Meta is not making it easy by any stretch of the imagination in terms of ads, whether it's on Instagram or Facebook. Google has increased their ad costs exponentially. So that's a whole other disaster. And then, of course, there's every Joe Soap, out there supplying truffles, whether or not they're genuine products or not, because it's the gold rush du jour, right? So there's all of these components, and the tried and tested method is repeat customers and positive experiences.
Word of
That's
mouth
it.
is the best. Yeah, word of mouth is the best commercial for you. I find it fascinating with Zuckerberg and Google what they're doing there. But I guess that's just more reassurance that you're doing something really good.
And it makes us feel so good. I mean, we see our reviews and the way people talk about it, and on our Facebook group, and on one-on-one, like it feels so great to hear people say, I'm not as road ragey. One of my clients said that her employees had completely messed something up, and normally she would have completely like lost it and tore them a new one. But what she did is that she went in the workshop, she looked them straight in the eyes, and she said, you have 24 hours to fix it. She turned around and she walked out. And she's like, I've never felt more proud of myself in my whole life that I didn't have a complete meltdown and I just fixed it and moved on. And ultimately, this is what microdosing brings. It brings you access to a level of resilience and buoyancy that you probably didn't have access to before. And mentioned briefly that they did an fMRI scan of a brain under the influence of psilocybin, and there's two different images. One of them is without the influence. The one with influence shows that every hemisphere and every major part of the brain is less active than the comparison non-psilocybin induced brain scan. And what this showed us is that it's not reserved to any specific area of the brain. So it's not just frontal lobe or right or left, but it's every aspect, including the amygdala and the limbic system. And what this means is that the limbic system is where the alarm bell rings. That's where our anxiety is. And for some of us, the alarm bell has been ringing so loud and for so long that we don't even know it's there. And so when you have just a little bit of a volume turned down, which is what microdosing does, you're not chasing a high, you're not chasing a buzz, you're not chasing the dragon, but you take a little bit of psilocybin and that brain activity drops a little bit. And sometimes the volume is reduced, or sometimes the noise just stops. That when the noise just stops, people feel elated because they're like, oh my God, I feel like I can think. I can actually like cope. I can actually do what I need to. I can focus. I can be creative. And this sense of elation is what's misconstrued as a high. But if you think of having 20% more mental bandwidth, how are you dealing with your life? You're problem solving. You can cope. You can deal with the inconveniences of day to day. Your mood is not at the mercy of a red light. And so you have access to so much more personal agency that this is really where the magic of microdosing comes in.
I love that word, mental bandwidth. No, seriously. And it's like you just said, that was beautiful. The feeling better, and if you translate that to any activity, the better you feel, the better you play. I mean, we have a saying in golf, a happy golfer is a good golfer. I mean, I can, if I play with my buddies and he had a fight with his wife half an hour before he left the house, I know he's got no chance because he's not happy. It has many, many different functions. Where do you see Microdose Pro and or Human Pro in 5 years?
God. Listen, let me start with saying if anybody's predicting anything about anything for 5 years, they're all lying. Nobody knows anything about
He
anything.
shot me
Okay.
down.
Nobody knows anything about anything. Everything is going at warp speed. We're just hanging on for dear life. The world is changing so fast. So many people are now leaning. The new toy du jour is ChatGPT and using that as a therapist slash romantic partner, which is creepy in itself. So they're kind of going away from, the excitement of psilocybin that we experienced for a few years, and now they're kind of, therapizing via ChatGPT because it's free and accessible and tells us yes to whatever we want it to say to us. It agrees with us incessantly. So where we're going to be, I don't know. But I do trust that the spores are always going to spore, and mycelium just has a way of doing what it does, So as
You
long as
see?
it's, we just love what we're able to do for people. And as long as people buy our products and continue to have such growth and enjoyment and personal benefit from it, we're just going to keep on trucking, for as long as they'll let us,
I'll be there. Maybe I asked the question the wrong way. Where do you see microdosing in 2 years? I mean, do you get stress from the powers to be, from the authorities, whatever? I mean, trying to make it illegal again, I mean, all these kind of things. I mean, and a lot of pharmaceutical companies cannot be happy about this.
It is infuriating, but again, there's something about the tenacity of human will that will not be conquered. And you'd be surprised, a lot of therapists and psychiatrists and counselors have sent customers our way. So a lot of people are worried about speaking to their medical professional about microdosing, which we encourage people to do because they're like, oh, they'll never understand. But it's easier than it's ever been in the history of humankind. So there's that, which is great. So they'll never be able to put the toothpaste back in the tube. So in that sense, it's really great. At this point, what we need to lean on again is my personal favorite word, which applies to AI or the internet or anything, which is discernment. We need to apply discernment. And I try to remind people that never in the history of humanity have we had such widespread access to such powerful psychoactive compounds that were previously only reserved for the clergy or the highest of royals or the most sacred of ceremonies. And this was maybe once or twice in their lifetimes. And as they say, when you get the message, hang up the phone, right? That's the thing. When you get your download, spend the rest of your life implementing what you've learned, which is, why are you doing ayahuasca 82 times? Were you not paying attention the first 81 times? Like, did you not get the message? And this is the message that I would like to bring. Let's preserve reverence. Let's preserve sacredness. Let's remember that we have access like we've never had access before. Let's be humble and grateful and use these as intended in their proper measure and pay attention to the information that they bring us rather than just gorging ourselves like foie gras, chasing this dragon, into the abyss. I really think that we have, because there was this some guy, he was live streaming taking 20 grams of mushrooms in Vegas while driving his Tesla. And I was like, it made me crazy because it was so disrespectful to the sacredness of what magic mushrooms can be and what they bring us, And so this is what I hope the future of microdosing will be, is that my words will be this small microdose that will spread out, because another one of my favorite tenets when it comes to this is each one teach one. And I say this to my clients, and I say this to our community. Now that I've taught you everything that you need to know, it is the onus is on you to pass on the information to whoever asks you about them. So you now carry the baton to teach other people how to use this wisely and to their benefit. And so hopefully my words will carry. And in a few years from now, we'll use psilocybin as intended for everyone's higher good.
What a beautiful premise to close the circle. Can we mention the internet site? It's microdose-pro.com. I don't know the site for the human pro, but I
Yes,
guess
human-pro.com.
human-pro.com. They got baseball hats, which are very cool, and people on the golf course look at me like, he's a microdose pro. What is
I
that?
get so much attention when I wear my hat.
Me
You'd
too.
be surprised.
Me
I
too.
get a lot of attention. It's a great hat to wear. It's a
Is.
great conversation starter.
It so is. I say it was an absolute pleasure to have you, and your openness and your enthusiasm, and this, I don't know, just telling it the way it is so refreshing, and especially for an older guy like me, to see how you guys feel about the world, and how you want to change it is absolutely gives me goosebumps. I should put it this way, and I've certainly racked up a boatload of frequent flyer miles with you guys over the years, and I will continue to do so. Give my best to the Dutch guy, to the Dutchies.
I will.
I hope, ladies and gentlemen, please check out those websites. Check out our talk with Rupert Sheldrake as well, which kind of fits into this. We will see you next time. Asha, thank you so much. Have a good night in the Far East, and we will talk again
If
soon.
I may,
Yes, please.
I will
Please.
recommend you take a tiny dose of truffles, make yourself a cup of functional mushroom tea, lay on the couch with some good old Pink Floyd and a pair of headphones, and enjoy the afternoon. Those are my parting wishes for you this weekend.
There you go. I think I'm just gonna do it, then apologize to my wife instead of asking for permission first.
She'll be thrilled. You don't need to
She'll be
apologize.
thrilled. Maybe I'll clean up
She'll be.
the apartment. I
Stranger things, right?
never know.
Stranger things. Thank you,
Asha,
Frank.
thank you
This
very
is.
much. That was it,
Cheers.
ladies and gentlemen. To the Linksland.